Well, good morning. It is 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio, Lauren Bell, Director of the Scientist in Residency Program at the Sitka Sound Science Center, and the new Scientist in Residency Fellow, Alan Verde. Welcome to Morning Edition.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, Alan, you are a professor of ocean studies at the Maine Maritime Academy. You're a marine biologist, and you study a whole bunch of really interesting things. You just arrived in Sitka, and you're going to be looking at a very special sea anemone. Why don't you tell us about that?
Okay. The anemone is, the common name is called the clonal anemone or the pink-tipped anemone, and it's found in high densities, high abundance in the intertidal zone down in Washington, Oregon, southern Vancouver Island. And what's very interesting about this particular anemone is that it can play host, or it provides a house for two different kinds of algae inside of its tissues. So it's a plant-animal combination. Now, these two kinds of algae you can differentiate very clearly out in the intertidal zone, because one is green and the other one is a light tan color. So right away, you can tell in the anemone which one the algae is going to be, green versus brown. And the work I've done in the past several years, as well as others down in Washington and Oregon, have been comparing what's going on with this anemone and with these two different kinds of algae. Why is one picked over the other depending on where you are in the intertidal zone? And so I'm here in Sitka because I want to see whether these anemones are located here, and if so, what kinds of algae are in them. Is it going to be the green, which is primarily what I'm thinking, or could it be also the brown? Don't know until I start poking around out in the intertidal zone.
So it's this marine biology mystery.
Correct.
You get to be the sleuth.
Yes.
Is Sitka considered the upper range, or is it uncertain?
There's papers that have been published that have documented that particular anemone here, but they haven't mentioned what kind of algae is in them. And eventually, I would like to, if I find them here, I would like to go up to Kodiak, because I have a colleague that works there, and visit him and then poke around Kodiak, because that's a little further north. But I want to document that the anemones are here first before I go further north.
So this is a symbiotic relationship.
Correct.
And it's really interesting because each algae gives the anemone something different. One is a little low quality than the other. So why would an anemone pick a brown algae if it's not given it as good stuff as the green algae?
Okay, so the brown algae can fix or obtain a lot of CO2 from its environment, convert it into carbon products, and then essentially just release it to the anemone for it to use for whatever it wants. So it gets a lot of this carbon, but in the form of sugars, carbohydrates, things that an animal burns very quickly but doesn't really build cells with.
All the pasta and bread.
Correct.
And muffins.
Correct. And Mars bars and chocolate chips. And by contrast, if you have a green alga inside you, you don't get as much carbon products from the green algae, but what you do get are high-quality products. So amino acids, which are the building blocks of proteins, nucleic acids, which are the building blocks of your DNA, your genetics, and also potentially some other chemicals that are in some very important chemical pathways. So the green provides a vitamin pill, so to speak, high quality products, but in smaller quantities versus the brown algae that provides you lots and lots and lots of organics, but lower quality. So it's quality versus quantity.
Well, local folk will be able to sort of help you on this adventure. How is that going to happen?
Well, the Sitka Sound Science Center is sponsoring me here with the SURF fellowship, and So they're providing me bench space and office space and microscopes and getting me together, hopefully, with somebody that has a boat that can take me out to some of these sites on the outer coast during low tides, because I just need a negative tide. I don't have to go diving for them. So that's what's nice about working with these particular anemones as well. They're very easy. You just have to wait for the tide to go out there and pick them off the rocks.
Well, you know, Southeast Alaska is full of citizen scientists because so many of us really live with the land. And folks listening are from all over the region. What if somebody thinks they may have seen one of these anemones? Can they call you?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know what the number is for the Sitka Sound Science Center.
747-8878 extension 9 will get you to me, and I'll get you to Alan.
That's all right. That's really great.
That would be outstanding.
Yeah.
Sure. The more eyes there are looking for me, the easier my job becomes.
And it's pretty cool, Melissa, while Alan's here, we have a lot of different ways that people can interact with him. He is giving a more traditional lecture at the Natural History Seminar Series next Thursday, that's May 11th at 7:30, where he will be explaining more about the symbiotic relationship and kind of the intricacies of that and why he's up here. But also, if people are interested in actually getting their hands wet and clipping anemone tentacles and squashing them and potentially looking for algal symbionts, they can come to a behind-the-scenes program that we're going to have at the Science Center. That's 5:30 next Wednesday, the 10th of May. And Alan will be leading a whole lesson, basically, on cnidarians, on anemones, and you'll get to really get your hands in the anemones and see what it's all about. So two really cool opportunities.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Alan, you do other kind of research as well. You do a lot of research in the tropics. Let's hear about that.
Yes. I was born and raised in the Philippines, and then my parents moved over to the States in 1970. And I played around in the rivers and the ocean as a young kid, and that's where I first got involved, really, in marine science. And what I do now is I go back to the Philippines every 3 or 4 years for 4 months, and I work on the Clownfish Sea Anemone Association, the Nemo story, so to speak. And what's interesting about that is the fish, because they swim in the tentacles and stay very close to the anemone, they pee and poop on the anemone, and that's absorbed by the anemone. These anemones also have algae in them that eventually that carbon and that nitrogen ends up in the algae. Now, there's also the other pathway. The algae can take carbon, CO2, and fix it like a plant. It gives it to the anemone, and ultimately that ends up in the fish because the fish can actually bite some of the tentacles and eat it. Even some of these anemones that spawn, the fish are right there eating the eggs as they're being spawned out of the mouth. And the fish will also kind of bite down on the tentacle and swim backwards with a slight tugging. So they don't break the tentacle off, but they're kind of scraping mucus. And so eventually the fish gets products from the animal as well as what originally started from the algae.
That's really fascinating.
So it's a very closed cycle system with nutrients for both carbon and nitrogen.
So you're really interested in how different organisms help each other and cohabitate and why that is and what they're getting from each other.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I also work on octopus down in Puget Sound. I dabble in them. I'm not an octopus expert, but I collaborate with a group down there that works on giant Pacific octopus and also the red octopus, the smaller cousins, because they're relatively plentiful there. And so we do some physiological studies and some behavioral studies, how they process their prey items, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm.
Well, this isn't your first time to Sitka. You've been here before.
Correct. Several years ago, there was a scientific diving conference here that was hosted by Sitka as well as the Science Center. And during one of those meetings, Lisa gave a plug for the surf fellowships, and my ears perked up, and so I had a little conversation with her at the time. And then currently this past year I've been on sabbatical away from teaching from MMA, and so I applied and was able to get one for May because the low tides are really good this time of the year. And so not only to collect anemones, look for anemones, but also to interact with the students in the community and do a show and tell in the intertidal zone.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, we are unfortunately out of time. Lauren, would you mind reminding folks how they can get a hold of Alan?
Yeah, absolutely. Best way is through me at the Science Center. So you can reach me, Lauren Bell, at 907-747-8878, extension 9. And as Alan said, there's a lot of great low tides at this time. So if you want to go out and stroll with Alan, please give a call, and I'm sure we can put you guys together.
Great. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Alan Verde. He's a marine biologist from the Maine Maritime Academy in town, scientist and residency fellow at the Sitka Sound Science Center, and Lauren Bell, director of the fellowship program.